much. Also, I would like to thank Perimeter Institute for giving me the opportunity to visit here for these 4 months. For the moment, I'm really enjoying my stay. So today, I would like to talk about some recent development in the study of supersymmetric gauge theories. So of course, as it, for obvious reason, was it clear, we are interested in developing methods to really explain in a quantitative fashion the dynamics of strongly coupled gauge fields. So this is very important, of course, in phenomenology, so for a variety of reasons. And it is also very hard. And in fact, most of the progress that have been done in this direction were basically done for theories with a high degree of symmetry, like conformal symmetry or supersymmetry. So very often when exact results in quantum field theory are found, they come together with some very interesting mathematical results. So the discovery of mathematical structure in quantum field theory. So an example is, of course, two-dimensional conformal field theories, which are theories that are very important, for example, in the description of critical points of spin systems. So these models can be solved exactly. They were solved by Belavin, Polyakov, and Zamolodchikov. But at the same time, they appear to be extremely closely related to topological quantum field theories and to knot invariants that was first pointed out by Witten. Also, supersymmetric gauge theories have very interesting mathematical structure associated. For example, the sectors of supersymmetric gauge theory can be mapped to solvable spin models in integrable systems. Of course, the most famous example is the four-dimensional theory with n equal to 4 supersymmetry, which is basically the most important common playground from where the mathematical, where the community of the integrability expert and the string theorists work together and they obtain really amazing results. And Pedro here is one of the exponent of this, main exponent of this research direction. But results obtained in supersymmetric gauge theory were also real breakthrough in pure mathematics. For example, topological strings and mirror symmetries are ideas that really were born in physics, and in particular in the study of n equal to gauge theory, and also really contributed to revitalize areas of pure mathematics, especially enumerative geometry. Now, one of the main tools to study to obtain exact results in quantum field theory is localization. So that's basically developed by Witten. So the idea is the following. So we take the action and to the action. So this phi is basically representing all the fields that we can have in a theory. And we consider a deformed version of the action by a term, which is basically obtained applying a symmetry, which is non-anomalous, so a symmetry of the path integral, to a Grassmannode field V. So if the addition of this term is such that the deformed partition function, which I indicated as Z of T, is independent of T. And this is something that one can easily figure out by taking the derivative of T of ZT respect to T. This brings down the variation of V. And integrating by parts and using that the variation square of V is zero by assumption, and that this is an anomalous symmetry, this is a total derivative and zero. Now, what is the advantage of this? Is that since the derivative of Z of T is zero, then we can basically conclude that Z of zero and Z of infinity is the same, so we can actually use Z infinity, meaning that we are evaluating the path integral in a saddle point approximation. So if this term that we add to the action has a positive definite bosonic part, so we really can use saddle point approximation, take the limit where T is very large, and let this term dominate in the action. So basically, the path integral, which is an integral which is infinite, is very complicated, boils down to the loci where this, the bosonic part of the variation of V is zero. So typically, if one is smart enough to choose properly the term to add to the action, then can reduce the path integral to a finite dimensional integral, which can be evaluated at exact values of the coupling, so purely non-perturbative. Of course, this method opens many possibilities, many applications. So the first application were used by Witten in cohomological theories, but more recently, method of localization was applied also to study supersymmetric gauge theory formulated on compact manifolds. So the first example is due to Peston in 2007, and he studied N equal to theory formulated on the force sphere. So in this case, the method of localization reduces the path integral to a matrix integral of this form. So there is a classical term, which is basically the evaluation of the classical action at the localizing locus, a one-loop term, which keeps track of the fluctuation in the saddle point approximation. And in fact, there are also some non-perturbative corrections that contribute to the localization locus, which can be understood as instanton and self-dual and anti-self-dual instantons at the north and the south poles of the force sphere. In fact, this contribution of the instantons were already computed by Nekrasov with the so-called omega background method. Last week, there was also a talk, in fact, by colloquium by Braverman talking about these instantons contributions. So in fact, these instanton here's are really a specification of the most general instantons obtained by Nekrasov. So this is really the value of the path integral at any value of the coupling. So it's really suitable to make tests, for example, of dualities. Indeed, the first application of this result was by Peston and was to test a conjecture. It was dating back several years ago, a conjecture about Wilson loops in N equal 4 gauge theory. So the conjecture was the following. If you take a circular Wilson loop at the equator of S4 in N equal 4 Young Mills, then the conjecture was that the expectation value of this Wilson loop in generic representation were captured by expectation values in the Gaussian matrix model. The way these people arrived at this conjecture was really perturbative, in fact. Basically, they start considering the diagram contributing to this Wilson loop, and they argue that just a fraction of them, the rainbow diagram, contributed, and that could be resummed. So they got a sort of hint of how the resummation of all these diagrams could be captured exactly by a Gaussian matrix model. Now, from the viewpoint of the localization, proving this result means just to specify the result for N equal 2 theory to the case of N equal 4, which is a simplification. So in fact, if I go back, basically the simplification means to forget about the instantons, which do not are not present in the N equal 4 case. So this was the first application of this result. But localization has allowed also to probe the dynamics of coincident M2 and M5 brains, which is a challenging problem, because they are strongly coupled theories, the theory that describe brains. So let's see an example. So there was a proposal by Aroni, Bergman, Jafferi, and Samaldasena, that the theory of coincident M2 brains, probing certain singularities, was captured by a three-dimensional superconformal field theory, a quiver Chersamos gauge theory. So this is the simplest example. It's a quiver theory with two UN gauge nodes and Chersamos levels K and minus K. So in particular, one can define a soft coupling lambda. So it was also conjectured that this theory has a dual realization in M theory or in type 2A. And basically combining the results from gauge theory and the one from the holographic realization, we can access basically two regimes of the theory in the large N approximation. So what was known is that at weak coupling, the theory has this behavior. So first, we take, again, large N expansion and with fixed soft coupling. And then we know that the region of weak coupling we can probe with gauge theory loop expansion, and it takes this form, while a strong coupling, there was a prediction coming from holography. So that was the status. Now, the main question is, of course, to find an interpolating function that has behavior that interpolates between these two regimes. So, in fact, the application of localization to the ABJM theories reduces the path integral to this type of matrix integral, which can be studied at large n with standard techniques. Well, not so standard because it's actually very complicated, but it can be studied at large n. For example, if you take the Toft expansion of these matrix models, the discovery by Drucker, Marinion, and Putrov was that the free energy, so the leading term in this matrix model, as a function of the Toft coupling, is the famous interpolating functions that really interpolates between these two regimes. So this was just the first result. But then it was also observed that one can take other type of expansions of this matrix model. For example, there is the so-called M-theory expansions studied by Klebanov and collaborators, which takes large N but fixed K. And so this approximation was also observed to be captured exactly by the Fermi gas approach. So the interesting thing is that this analysis was so refined that they could argue that certain types of effects could be resummed into singular objects. And these singularities require cancellations from other type of effects, which were indeed membrane or D2 brains effects. So basically, this is to indicate that in this context, very accurate analysis of non-perturbative regimes of interacting gauge theories were carried out. So much in the same spirit, M5 brains were analyzed via localizations. So the theory of N-coincident M5 brains from supergravity argument is supposed to have an N-cube scaling at large N. And it was also argued that these features should be visible in the five-dimensional reduction of the theory of M5 brains. So this is a chain of argument that is a bit complicated to explain, but anyhow, several groups observed that the five-dimensional theory could carry enough information of the six-dimensional theory, and in particular to preserve these interesting scaling a large N. In particular, the five-dimensional theory has a Lagrangian description, unlike the six-dimensional one, and can be studied via localization. So as in the BJM case, this five-dimensional theory was studied via localization on a five-sphere and was shown to reduce to a matrix model. And again, the Lagrangian analysis of this matrix model confirmed the expected and cube scaling. So that was a very non-trivial test of the dynamics of M5 brains. Another interesting application of localization was to probe duality, to make tests of dualities. An example is mirror symmetry in three dimensions. So in this case, we are considering N equal 4 theories in three dimensions, and their moduli space has a Higgs branch and a Coulomb branch. And what is interesting is that these two branches are changed by mirror symmetry. However, this symmetry is in fact only true at the limits where the coupling is going to infinity. So it's clearly impossible to gather evidences of these dualities via perturbative computation, because both sides of the dualities involve strongly coupled theory. One can still hope to compare other quantities that do not depend on the coupling, like moduli spaces, and this was, in fact, the way these dualities were observed. However, now, thanks to localization, N equal 4 theories can be localized for example, on three spheres, and they reduce to simple matrix models. So this is, again, the result by Kapustin, Willett, and Yakov. So in this setup, testing dualities becomes very simple in the sense that if you have a theory A and B, which are supposed to be a mirror pair, one, you can really check exactly that their partition functions, which are matrix models that you can write down and compare, are actually equal. So in this way, other dualities have been tested, like, for example, cyber dualities have been tested, and other dualities were tested in various dimensions and on various manifolds. Okay, so far, I've been mostly arguing that localization was a useful tool to test predictions from holography or to test dualities that were already known. But in fact, thanks to localization, in the last years, many new dualities were discovered. And they were, in fact, correspondences more than dualities. And they arise, at least they were argued to arise, via different compactification of a mother theory, which is the six-dimensional theory of M5 brains. So the first example of this type of correspondences is the celebrated AGT correspondence that was proposed by Aldai, Gaiotto, and Tachikawa. So the two characters in this correspondence are, on one side, four-dimensional n equal to theories. In particular, these theories are obtained wrapping M5 brains on a punctured Riemann surface. So usually they are indicated by TGN, really to mean that this theory depends on the Riemann surface they are compactified on. In particular, this class of theories has a generalized S-duality acting on the gauge coupling, which corresponds to the different way of Pant decomposing the Riemann surface. And for this reason, this theory are also named class S, I think. The other characters in this correspondence is Liouville theory defined on the Riemann surface CGN. So this is a non-rational 2D conformal field theory, and this theory is characterized as rational conformal field theory by three-point functions X spectrum. In particular, the consistency of this theory requires that when we compute correlation functions, it doesn't really matter the way we divide them in three-point functions. So this property is basically it's called crossing symmetry of correlators, which is indeed reflected in the S-duality invariants of the 4D gauge theory. So the statement of the AGT correspondence is really that there is a dictionary to map quantities in these two theories. So on one side, there are correlation functions of primaries in Liouville field theories, which can be computed, as I say, cutting this endpoint correlator in three-point functions. So this contribution is due to three-point functions. And then there is the part capturing the descendants, which is encoded in the conformal blocks. Now this side, via a dictionary, is mapped to partition functions of these n equal to theories on the fourth sphere obtained via localization. So in particular, the dictionary maps conformal blocks to instanton partition functions, three-point functions into one-loop factors, the cross ratio on the Riemann surface to the coupling of the gauge theory, and external momenta to the masses, and so on and so forth. So this correspondence, besides being clearly really remarkable, is also a computational tool. Because, for example, in Liouville theory, which has been studied for decades, there are methods to study observables, such as Verlinde loop operator, that were somehow borrowed to study Wilson and Toft loops in the gauge theory. Another correspondence, which is a variation of the AGT correspondence, was obtained basically replacing the fourth sphere with the product of S3 times S1. So in this case, the correspondence connect a 4D superconformal index of the class 4D class S theories, and Liouville theory in this case is replaced by a 2D topological quantum field theory, which is a sort of a deformation of 2D Jan-Mills theory. Also in this case, this correspondence can be regarded as a tool, because thanks to the formulation in terms of a topological quantum field theory, it was possible, for example, to evaluate the index of strongly coupled gauge theories for which it's not possible to write down a Lagrangian. There is also another correspondence. This is a 3D correspondence, where the two characters are three-dimensional theories, n equal two theories, which flow in the infrared to preconformal field theories. And they are obtained wrapping M5 brains on a three-manifold M3. So in this case, these theories are basically labeled by three-manifold, and they were called class R theories. So in this case, since this three-dimensional superconformal field theory may have different UV Lagrangian description, all being different description of the same infrared theory, they have this 3D mirror symmetry, which indeed exchanges the different Lagrangian formulation of this theory. And on the other side of the correspondence, there are analytically continuous Simons theory on three manifolds. So in this case, the thing that corresponds to mirror symmetry is the fact that this connection of SL2C connections can be, in fact, constructed patching together connections on ideal tetrahedra, which are basically the building blocks which can be used to construct a three-manifold. And the invariance of under different triangulation of this procedure corresponds to the invariance under mirror symmetry of these 3D gauge theories. In particular, in this correspondence, the things that are being mapped are partition functions of these n equal two theories on S3 and S2 times S1, two partition functions of Chern-Simons theories on three manifold with different analytic continuation of the coupling. Okay, so this list is not complete. In fact, for example, very recently it was proposed also a 2D 4D correspondence, which this time relates four manifolds to 2D gauge theories, and this is proposed by Gukov and collaborators. So these correspondences, of course, are really amazing, but not only they unveil new structure in gauge theories, but they're also, as I try to point out, they really provide new computational tools, because sometimes they relate quantum field theory to models like topological quantum field theory that can be exactly solved, or Liouville theory, where really there are many technologies to compute observables. So it's really a new resource. Now, I would like instead to discuss another aspect of partition function of supersymmetric theories on compact manifold. That is the fact that they can be very often decomposed in a more fundamental set of building blocks, and trying to argue that thanks to these decompositions, new properties of this partition function may become visible. Okay, so the first example that I want to discuss is partition functions defined on three manifolds like S3 and S2 times S1. So geometrically, we know that these three manifolds, even if they're clearly different, but they are made of the same fundamental building blocks. In fact, they can be both obtained gluing solid toroid, that is product of the cigar times S1, by different gluing of the boundary torus. So in particular, if you glue them directly, say with the identity element, you end up with S2 times S1. While if you just do this gluing where you glue the boundary of the cigar to the S1 and of the other solid torus and vice versa, you realize an S3. Good. So these spaces can, in fact, geometrically decompose into fundamental building blocks. So the question is that is there a quantum field theory analog of this decomposition? So the answer is that yes, there is. So if you study three-dimensional inequality theories on these spaces, it turns out that partition functions can be decomposed into building blocks that we baptize holomorphic blocks in three dimensions that are really reflecting the structure. So they can be, they are the same building blocks appearing in both partition functions, but what is different is the gluing rule. So more precisely, these blocks depends on two types of parameter. One parameter contains basically all the mass parameters of the theories, and then there is a parameter Q, which is related to the tau parameter of the boundary torus. And the idea is that this gluing implies that when we multiply the two copies of the building blocks, this parameter of the boundary torus is acted by an element in SL2Z. So it's really reflecting the realization of this three-manifold by gluing solid tori. Now, the factorization of 3D partition functions, in fact, works also on more general spaces. For example, if you take quotients of S3, you can show that everything works in the same way. You just need to implement the expected transformation in SL2Z for decoupling. And of course, the natural question is to try to generalize this observation to more general cipher manifolds, which, for example, may involve Hegar splitting of higher genus. Now, so this factorization can be proved also by an alternative localization scheme, so-called Higgs branch localization, which basically shows that the loci around which the path integral localizes are precisely giving the contribution of these blocks. And there is also an argument, sort of intuitive argument, to understand why this property takes place, which is the following, is that these partition functions can be, the geometry on which these partition functions live can be, in fact, deformed without changing the partition function to a configuration in which we have two solid tori connected by an infinitely long tube. And this operation has the effect of a projection on the ground states, and basically gives a strong argument toward the factorizations. And this is to be compared, in fact, with the recent analysis in the TT star setup. Now, these blocks have interesting properties. So, for example, they are solution to difference equation, which can be argued to correspond to the XXZ Baxter equation. So there is a way that looking at these blocks, we can connect directly to integrable spin chains. They also have interesting transformation as we vary the parameters of the theory, so this parameter X. So in particular, they undergo Stokes jumps. And this behavior is quite interesting because basically the two copies of the blocks, when they jump at the Stokes lines, they actually transform with conjugate matrices, and in such a way that while the blocks are, so to say, covariant under transformations, they are, when they are fused together to realize partition functions, they ensure the invariance of partition function of symmetries. So the Stokes jumps are related to the symmetries of the theories, and in particular, the blocks transform covariantly under these symmetries. Another important observation is that these blocks via the 3D correspondence, they have an interpretation as analytically continuous Chern-Simons wave function. And in this setup, the index alpha that in blocks corresponds to the supersymmetric vacua of the gauge theory is mapping is labeling flat connections. Other observation is that in the blocks, one can study defect operators, which can be inserted at the boundaries of the tori. Now, very recently, it was argued that a similar mechanism takes place also in higher dimension. For example, it was observed that the superconformal index, or the partition function in on the product of S3 times S1, can also be factorized in terms of a more fundamental set of blocks. In this case, are 4D blocks, which are naturally interpreted as the partition functions on the product of a cigars times a torus. And this is the way that the gluing of this object realizes S3 times S1. Of course, at this point, it is exciting to think about how many four manifolds we can access via this, via the gluing of these four-dimensional blocks. So also these four-dimensional blocks have interesting property, which we still need to explore, because this is very recent result, last week, in fact. And they will probably lead to connections to XYZ spin chains. Now, also in this case, the partition functions is was argued to be metric independent. So also in this case, probably the argument of stretching and projections should go through and leads to a possible proof of factorization in blocks of these partition functions. And then, of course, there is also the two-dimensional story. So in this case, two-dimensional theories with 2,2 supersymmetry were studied on S2 by some local group of people and by Benigni Cremonesi. And for these theories, there is also a very interesting conjecture that proposes that the partition functions on the two sphere should actually capture Keller potentials, exact Keller potentials on the quantum Keller model space when you study gauge linear sigma models flowing to some Calabi-Yau target in the infrared. So in this case, the X branch partition functions takes the expected factorized form and blocks. This time are just partition functions on the cigar. Now, in this case, in two dimensions, the stretching argument, which has been proved by Gomis and Lee, is in fact also a proof of this conjecture, because by the stretching argument, the partition functions on the two sphere takes the form of an overlap between Ramon-Ramon ground states. And this is, in fact, an alternative definition, if you want, of Keller potential due to Cecotti and Buffon. In two dimensions, there is also independent computation of the partition function on the cigar. And in this case, this object was argued to capture central charges of D-brains. And the D-brains in this setup are really what is implementing the boundary conditions on the cigar. So in this case, there are very interesting mathematical applications of this gauge theory computation. So the last dimension that I need to introduce is five dimensions. So in this case, we have the first two examples where the partition functions of n equal one theory on S4 times S1, so again is an index. In this case, the partition functions take a form of an overlap, if you want, of so we have a one loop term, and then we have contribution of instantons at the north and south poles of the four sphere, very much like in the result by Peston that I presented at the beginning. And there is also another geometry which has been studied, which is the phi sphere. Now, in this case, the phi sphere is the way to understand the phi sphere is factorized is a bit less intuitive, because we need to resort to the language of toric geometry. So we need to see a phi sphere as a T-cube vibration over a triangle, which I'm trying to sketch here. So there is here a triangle, and then there are a T-cube on top of it. And these S1s are shrinking as we move towards the edges of this triangle. So at the edges of the triangles, only two of the circles are surviving. And at the tips of these triangles, only one circle is surviving. So basically, at the tip of the triangles, we can think that we have copies of cigar C2 times S1 or R4 times S1. So this explains why the partition function on S5 is obtained basically by patching together three copies of five-dimensional instantons. Now, in fact, both these expressions can be re-expressed in terms of objects, which are really what we would like to call 5D holomorphic blocks, which is obtained by putting together five-dimensional instantons and the factorization of classical and one-loop parts. So this proposal, in fact, seems to be really generalizing smoothly, because a recent result was basically an enormous generalization, which is also very recent, is the computation of partition functions on generic toric manifold. So basically, in this case, we are talking about fibrations, T cubed over an n-agon, so which generalizing the triangle that we saw earlier on. So in this case, it was argued that the partition functions can also be expressed in terms of 5D blocks. And the strategy that this group follow is that to really perform a computation via localization of the perturbative part, which consists in a classical and a one-loop part. And then there is a proof, which is far from being trivial, because it requires to play with special function and to resolve constraints, to argue that the result of localization, so which is basically the evaluation of some determinant, can be written in a factorized form. After that, basically, one makes an assumption that the result, exact result, is obtained by completing the perturbative part by the instanton part. So the final result will be given in terms of blocks. So basically, the factorization paradigm seems to leads to infinitely many new exact results for partition functions on this type of manifold. So now, as I mentioned a while ago, the AGT correspondence provides a map. And in particular, we have a correspondence between four-dimensional instantons and Virasoro conformal block, one loop term and Liouville three-point functions, and partition functions on the fourth sphere to Liouville correlator. So on the light of the fact that 5D partition functions are also factorized, it's natural to ask whether there is an analog of this story in five dimension. So the hint comes from the observation that also the five-dimensional instantons are related to conformal blocks. In fact, they are related to Q-deform Virasoro blocks, and there has been quite a bit of activity in checking this type of relation. So one can conjecture that perhaps partition functions on five sphere or as four times as one, for example, could also be captured by correlators in Q-deform Liouville theory. Well, the main question is that what is this theory? And so what we are trying to do is try to define this theory in terms of its spectrum and three-point functions. So let me explain better. So the first ingredient that I need is the symmetry. So as I said, I'm replacing the Virasoro symmetry with a Q-deform version of it. So this is the so-called Virasoro QT algebra. It has two parameters, Q and T, of deformation of the ordinary Virasoro algebra. And importantly, it has a limit in which it reduces back to the ordinary Virasoro algebra. This symmetry was argued to emerge in the description of 2D lattice model. Now, what we would like to do is the following. We would like to be able to compute correlation functions of primaries of this deformed Virasoro algebra by inserting three-point functions and then summing over the descendants, and as we do in rational conformal field theory. Of course, in order that this approach is well-defined, there are consistency conditions to satisfy. So first of all, the way to decompose unemployment correlators into three-point function is not unique. So in particular, you want to require that different decompositions give equal expressions. So if we represent conformal blocks or a correlator, say this is a four-point correlator as a Riemann surface with punctures, we want to have invariance under different choices of punct decompositions. So roughly, there are two steps to construct an object which is invariant under this change of punct decomposition. First one is to show that the chiral blocks are covariant objects under punct decomposition, which is also known as the Moore-Seiberg groupoid transformations. And the second step is to fuse, to glue the blocks to form invariant correlators. Now, in Liouville theory, or in familiar to the CFT, the way to construct correlators is to take the product of holomorphic and anti-holomorphic conformal blocks and three-point functions. Now, in the Q-deform setup, we think that we have more freedom because our blocks are probably we have an SL3Z worth of ways to glue Virasoro Q-deform blocks. Of course, we can't guess what's the right gluing, so we try to take inspiration from some sensible gluings. And given that the Virasoro QT blocks are known to be equal to five-dimensional instantons, we really assume that we can glue them as we glue blocks in 5D partition functions. So at the moment, I put together three ingredients, which are the Q-deform Virasoro algebra, the consistency conditions, and some gluing rules. And with these three ingredients, I will try to construct correlators. In fact, this is, in principle, should be possible because these three ingredients are enough, for example, to construct Liouville theory even without really using the Lagrangian. So that's the bootstrap approach, in fact, which uses the general representation of the Virasoro algebra and crossing symmetry. And as a result, the bootstrap approach gives three-point functions. No reference to a Lagrangian formulation of Liouville theory. So we'll try to do the same. So we try to define a Q-deform version of Liouville theory without knowing the Lagrangian. So we try to proceed in the same way. So we will use chiral blocks, which are determined by the Virasoro algebra, Q-deform. And we try to extract three-point functions using the degenerate representation of the Virasoro algebra plus crossing symmetry, which is a consistency condition, plus a gluing prescription. So that's the ingredient that we are going to put together in the Q-deform bootstrap approach. So in our approach, we are considering really a minimal variation of the standard bootstrap approach by Belavin, Polyakov, and Zamolodchikov. So we consider a four-point correlation functions of deformed Virasoro primaries, and we take one of the primaries to be a degenerate one. Now, it is known that when one of the primaries is degenerate at level 2, correlation functions satisfy Q-deform hypergeometric equations. So the solutions that we look for will be a bilinear combinations of solutions of Q-deform hypergeometric. Now, the solution around 0 takes the form of some Q-deform hypergeometrics, which when we remove the Q-deformation, reduces to the ordinary Q-deform, to the ordinary basis of solution in the S channel. And with them, we form a bilinear combination, which we take to be diagonal, in analogy with the underform case. And these coefficient k's are basically the three-point functions factors that we would attach to this conformal diagram that we are considering. Of course, here I'm putting a star, because this is the point which I mentioned earlier on, that I need to specify how to glue these Q-deform blocks. In this case, it's not obvious what to do, because while in two-dimensional, I would have taken just the holomorphic and anti-holomorphic pairing of these two blocks. In this case, I need to prescribe a gluing rule, which for the moment I'm keeping generic and I will specify at the end. So I can construct a solution also in the U channel, looking at the solution around infinity. So that's the basis of the solutions around infinity. Again, if we remove the formation, we obtain the usual U-channel basis of solutions. And with them, we construct bilinear combination with coefficient k's representing three-point functions in the U-channel. And finally, we impose crossing symmetry. So crossing symmetry requires that the correlation functions in the S channel and in the U channel, where basically I'm exchanging the order of these two primaries, is the same. At this point, we can take basically the analytic continuation of the solution in the S channel via these matrices MIJs and to transform this side of the equivalence into an object which contains only solutions in the U channels. Comparing the two sides, we get an equation which relates the three-point functions which are inside these matrices Kijs to the analytic continuation matrices. Now, these matrices are paired with the symbol tilde, which is, in fact, the pairing that I need to specify here. And at this point, I can no longer delay the assumption of how to pair the conformal blocks. But apart from giving this extra input for gluing the blocks, I have a completely axiomatic prescription to get an equation for three-point functions. OK, so at this point, if I assume that blocks could be glued with the S5 gluing rules or with S4 times S1 gluing rule, I get two types of three-point functions. Just for curiosity, I will list them here. So if you are familiar with UVL theory, they look very much like the three-point functions in UVL theory. The difference is that different special functions are appearing in these expressions. And I'm writing them here, even if they are not particularly illuminating. The parameters here are B0 are basically the squashing parameters of the fourth sphere, while these omegas are squashing parameters on the five sphere. Now, with these two three-point functions, we can construct correlators. So in particular, we can construct a four-point correlation function and a correlation functions on the torus. And with a choice of dictionary, which is basically straightforward, we can observe that these correlation functions can be mapped to partition functions on S4 times S1 and S5 for 5D super QCD, that is ST2 theory with four flavors, or the N equal one star theory, which is an ST2 theory with one adjoint hyper. Okay, so this is basically just the beginning of the story, if you want, because I just started constructing these types of correlators. And there are many open questions to answer. In particular, what we have done is to define these Q-deform correlators in terms of blocks and three-point functions. But the main challenge ahead for us will be try to prove that these objects are in fact well-defined, meaning that they satisfy the consistency conditions that come from the different change of path decomposition. That is, we want to prove that they are invariant under the action of these Moore-Seiberg dualities. And so far, we only know that our correlators are invariant under a baby version of this large group of dualities, which is crossing symmetry in the degenerate case, because that's the information that we actually use to construct this correlator. And of course, another big open question is that whether if we can really satisfy all these requirements and we construct an object which is invariant under this group of dualities, we can ask what is the meaning of these dualities in the gauge theory side. Okay. Let me stop here.
Okay, do we have any questions? Yeah, I figured we could go directly to.
So if I understood, this is all Euclidean signature quantum field theory.
Yeah.
So does this correspond, I mean, your manifolds are compact. Does it have any meaning to analytically continue it to Lorentzian? And more generally, are there Lorentzian analogs of these techniques that can be done with a real signature or Lorentzian signature?
I think it really depends case by case. In general, I don't know. In some cases, probably some results can be extended, but I think in general, I don't know. In some cases, it could be done, probably, but it's probably non-trivial, I think.
Next question.
Okay. And one more technical. Maybe you said this earlier because I came in a bit late, but. Yeah. I mean, if you say the two partition functions are equal, that's just two numbers. But I presume these numbers depend on parameters.
Exactly, yes.
Can you, so it's really two functions being equal.
It's equality of functions, in fact.
Can you sort of review what are the parameters on which the partition function depends in these cases?
Yeah, so for example, gauge theories, you can turn on mass parameters, Fayette-Yopoulos parameters. So all these quantities are visible in partition functions. So they are functions of those parameters. And the dualities involve really also to map these objects. And on top of that, there are also functions of the gauge coupling, which is an exact function of the coupling. So you don't need to take any limit. You may expand, but you can work at finite value of the coupling.
A mass will destroy the conformal invariants, no? So,
yeah, they are, yeah.
So is the statement in some infinitesimal limit they're equal, or? I mean, can you say that the duality extends to non-zero mass too?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there are theories which are not necessarily conformal that are being mapped to each other. Yeah.
Any more questions?
So when you're decomposing Pan's diagrams in ordinary conformal field theory, you use that like the every point basically looks the same under the in a theory with a conformal symmetry, but with the deformed conformal symmetry, this is no longer true. The origin is special, et cetera. So how do you expect to be able to decompose something in that particular case?
Well, I mean, I appreciate that the Q-deform setup is different. So I'm trying to proceed by analogy. So there is the notion of associativity. So you can still play with the fact that you can permute the order of insertion in a correlator. So I'm asking if you want the invariance under this order permutation. And it helps to think in terms of insertion points on a surface, even though I'm completely with you that it's not completely obvious what this means. In fact, what is the interpretation of the worksheet parameter?
Are there any more questions? Okay, in that case, let's thank the speaker again.